Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 session here at Channel 9. With me today, Alec. Alec, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Alec Burnson. I'm a program manager on the Windows 7 sensor and location team.
Cool, and Alec, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great
to have you again here. And as probably you can imagine, today we're going to talk about the location platform. Mm-hmm. We're going to go deep into the location platform API. But before that, Alec, maybe you could do a quick recap about what is the Windows 7 sensor and location platform.
Sure. So for those of you who are just joining us, the location and the sensor and location platform is a new platform that we created for Windows 7. And the goal is to make it much easier to write applications that are aware of the environment that the computer is operating in. So for example, if you were today to go to try to write an application that used, say, ambient light, or if you wanted to access a GPS sensor, there'd be a whole host of code you would have to write. There'd have to be a whole lot of in-depth knowledge that you would need to have about the specific type of chip that you have on that machine. And then once you wrote that chip, that code for that particular, you know, instance of that chip, what if you were to deploy the software on another PC that has a different chip, you know, a different light sensor or a different GPS? And even though they expose the same type of data, they probably have a whole different set of proprietary APIs. And so what we're trying to do in Windows 7, or what we've done in Windows 7, is we've unified the driver model for exposing these devices and provided an easy set of APIs that makes it very simple for users to get access to this sort of information so that they can develop cool applications that can use the context, like where is the PC and what brightness and are there people around it and is it moving and all these sorts of information. So we're making it very easy to get that.
Right, and we already had two videos on the location, on the sensor and location platform on Windows 7, an overview and a deep dive into actually the sensor platform with that, and it's a really cool platform. It's unified
Thank
the way you. That you actually can develop one, on one hand devices and can develop driver to that and to work with that, and then developers who write software, it's all a lot easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. So a location sensor basically is a sensor. So why do we have a different set of API for location sensors versus other sensors?
Okay, well, the reason we have a separate API for location sensors is that really, typically in a machine, you might have multiple different sensors that all give you location information. So, for example, there are many different technologies for getting location. You can have the standard one that everybody thinks of immediately is GPS. So, you know, you use the global positioning system, and you have a chip and an antenna and everything, and you get your location information through that. But other technologies include Wi-Fi triangulation. For example, if you developed a large database that had all the Wi-Fi access points in the world and where they were, you could do a triangulation based on which access points your PC can see. You can do other things like using IP resolving. That's what many websites do today, so that they know, you know, you see singles in Redmond or whatever, right? That's how they do that, is they know your IP address. Or the user could manually enter in where they are on, say, a desktop where you don't have access to this different type of hardware. And so right now, writing applications that use location information, as I mentioned before, when I was talking about sensors, is that, you know, there's each one of these different technologies has a different way of accessing it. So with the location API, we established a minimum set of data fields that every location sensor has to have. So every location sensor has to have a latitude, a longitude, and the error around that. Altitude and the error for the altitude is an optional but also strongly recommended component. And so any device that exposes those fields, the location API will actually sit on top of the sensor API and ask the sensor API, you know, give me all of your location sensors. And what it does is it tracks all of the transitions and the states and everything of those different devices, and it makes it so that when you're developing code that uses location, you don't have to worry about, well, do I want GPS or do I want Wi-Fi? It will just pick whoever's most accurate at any given time. So, for example, say you go outside and you have clear, sunny day, like it is today, you know, 70 degrees and sunny in Seattle. Yeah. So you go outside, clear sky, you get, you know, nice view, GPS is working great. You come inside, and now all of a sudden, you lose your signal. And so if you had something like a Wi-Fi triangulator on your machine that could work in an environment where you don't have GPS but where you have those Wi-Fi signals, the location platform would automatically transition you from the GPS over to the Wi-Fi and keep giving you data reports. So as an application developer, you don't actually have to care about where the data is coming from. You just have to say, show me where I am, or tell me where when I've moved, which are the two key pieces of information that we give.
So the developers basically use one set of API, a very relatively simple set of APIs, mm-hmm. that we're going to see in a second, to ask always the same questions like where I am, or have I moved, or my state of change, basically. And what the sensor location APIs are doing are adding an additional abstraction layer above the sensor API.
That's absolutely correct.
Managing the changing state transaction, or handling data reports and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the lat and lot, where, location, and feeds all that to a relatively easier API to your consumer.
Exactly, right? So if I'm going to write a gadget that knows where I am, for example, if I wanted to make a weather gadget that automatically showed me my weather based on where I currently am, all I really care about is getting the latitude and longitude and figuring out what city I'm in. I don't need to worry about any of the device stuff as the gadget developer.
Right.
So all I really want is an API that I can say, get location.
Cool. And I think we have a couple of samples, right?
Yes, we do. Okay. So I'm going to show some demos that we have here. So you can see I have two gadgets on my desktop here, and you can see that my background says that I'm in Seattle right now, because there's a nice picture of the Space Needle. And if I expand this gadget, you can see, I'm in Seattle. It's hard to click on that thing sometime. So this gadget is actually giving me all the coffee shops around where the green dot is on the map. Very fitting for Seattle. And so now what I'm going to do, and you're going to have to trust me that I'm not faking it on this, but this application right here, this enhanced default location is what we call it at the moment. This device actually lets me click on a map and set where my location is.
You want to enable the...
Oh, good call, yes. So this background is actually a slideshow. So if I enable this, this should start... Well, once it gets an event. There we go. So it's giving me updates. So you can see here, I'm getting different pictures, all of them in Seattle. You can tell just by looking to see, look, there's the Space Needle. You're in Seattle.
Yep. So the background actually changed according to your location.
Yes. So it knows I'm in Seattle. So now if I go down here and I click, say I want to go to San Francisco, you can see that, look, my background is starting to show me places that are in San Francisco. There should probably be a nice picture of the San Francisco Bay or Bridge in a moment. I must have clicked out in the water. Oh, I clicked out in the middle of nowhere somewhere. It's hard to click when you're using the small. Yeah, let me zoom in so we get someplace. Actually in San Francisco.
There we go.
So I got two different coffee shops around here, and I got weather. Ooh, 82, but it's cloudy.
Yeah, but
not
it's
quite
still
as nice.
82, but it's nice. So you can see the background change according to your location. And we are actually going to kind of a web service to get a picture, but we have the Latin long so we can know where we are.
Exactly, yes. And you can see that all these things get the same location information from the same source.
Cool. So this is great, but how exactly is the location API fits into the Windows Sensor and Location platform?
Okay, so if I bring up a little PowerPoint presentation I have here with a nice diagram. So you can see here, here's the overall view of what the whole stack looks like, both the sensor and the location platform. So what happens is that somebody writes a driver, so you can see GPS or Wi-Fi driver based on what different technology they're using. And they write this driver so that it works with the sensor API.
Right.
And so now the sensor API sits on top of that, gets its privacy and other controls, and I mm-hmm. believe Gavin talked about that in the other video.
We have covered that in the previous video.
Yeah,
we had with Gavin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the sensor API handles all of that level of bookkeeping. Then the location API sits on top of that. And as I mentioned before, it literally asks the sensor API for, give me all of the sensors that support location. And you can see dangling off to the side here, we also have this thing called default location. And so in the event that this GPS and Wi-Fi device wasn't present, whether they were disabled or whether you're on a desktop or some type of machine where you just didn't have those installed, the location API will actually fall back to looking into the registry for this default location value. And in Windows, there's actually a control panel called Default Location,
obviously,
which allows the user to actually manually enter in their location. There's also an extensibility mechanism by which they can build tools, like the one that I was just showing you. So this guy here, this actually, this is why it's called Enhanced Default Location. So it's default location with a map. So you pick where you are, and it actually injects the location into the registry. And so as far as the application is concerned, when it queries the location API, all that it, you know, it's just asking for give me my location, and the location API is both asking the sensor API and the default location API, as it were, to know where to, you know, to give it location, and then it figures out who's the most accurate and which one it should use. And it handles all the transitions and state changes between these two different devices through the sensor API.
Cool. So this is a great overview of the architecture. Let's actually take a look at the location APIs.
Okay. Let's open up Visual Studio here and see what we got. So this is looking at, basically this is just a condensed view, is the IDLE file for what the location API looks like. And we'll just run our way down, sure, down the file. So you can see here we have an enum called location report status. And if you recall from the sensor API talk, there's different states that the sensors could be in. And so now the location API has kind of abstracts away some of the states. And so the report status is actually not the status of any particular sensor, but rather the ability of the location API to generate a new report. So if it's in not supported, that means there's no way that this type of report is not supported. There's no sensors around that can do it. If you're in an error state, that meant that there might actually still be data from some time in the past when the location API had a sensor that was working, but right here, right now, something is erroneous and we don't have access. We don't have the ability to generate a new report. Moving up the food chain of states here, we have access denied. So access denied means that, access denied is even stronger than error in some ways, because when a sensor goes into the access denied state, we actually wipe all of the data. There's no cache data in that case, because that means that the user mainly went to the control panel and said, disable the sensor. And so we've, you know, rescinded the privileges of that sensor from it giving location information, and so we pull all that data out of the location API.
Sure.
So access denied means that somewhere there is a sensor that might actually very well be working, but it's turned off by the user's preference.
So your significant other actually can't look back in time or in trace and see that you've taken a trip to Reno or something like that.
Right, you can't look back now.
Right.
Yeah. Initializing means that there's a sensor that's in the initializing state, so it'll probably have data, you know, standby, show something flashing or the donut or something,
sure,
but that, you know, you don't have data yet. And running means that not only is there data in the past, but there's also an ability to generate a new report. So when I say, get me a location report, there's definitely a sensor that I can go to and ask for that data.
And the nice thing, again, about the sensor location, API is basically there could be any number of sensor behind the status. But if there is one that actually can generate report right now, so you get the running.
Exactly, yeah. Cool. Most of the time, the state that you see here is really it's basically the analog of the state of the current, like, best working sensor. But that's not always the case.
Okay.
Okay, so moving down a little bit here. So we're going to look at some of the reports, so how we actually express the data. And so we've got, there's three methods. So we have iLocationReport. And this is the base class for how we transmit data to the user when they ask for it. And there's three different common interfaces or common methods that we have here. We have get the sensor ID, so you can actually query to see which sensor it was that was delivering the last report or delivered this particular report.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually use that ID in the sensor API, and you can say, you know, get sensors by ID. And if you pass in this ID, you'll actually get back the sensor that delivered this report.
The raw sensor.
So there's a lot of cool things you could do with this.
Obviously.
You could show the name of the current sensor, or you could use it for diagnostics. You know, it's nice to have that information.
Sure, and this is basically allowing you to go directly to the sensor API, bypassing the location API.
If you want to. Yeah, certainly. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, when the location API is using a sensor, it doesn't have any sort of exclusive access. So that means that I can still go through the sensor API and talk to that sensor, even from the same application if I want.
Sure.
There's no limitations or restrictions.
Obviously.
Yeah. Next method we got is the timestamp. So this is the timestamp that the data was generated by the sensor. And this is actually a very important field because, as I mentioned, if you were in an error state or, you know, one of those other states, that means that we can't generate new reports, but we might still have the last report. And so you can use the timestamp to decide how old is this data. Because for some applications, data that's 20 or 30 minutes old might still be good. And for some applications, you know, turn-by-turn directions or something, that data is going to be considered stale. And so you're going to want to use that timestamp to throw it away.
Just one important note, the timestamp is the machine timestamp, right? It's not the GPS time.
Right, it's the machine. Yes, it's the local time on the machine. It's not GPS time.
Right.
Yep.
Get value obviously give you a data report.
So get value actually, you can specify which GUID you want from the sensor API. So when Gavin ran through sensors.h, there was a whole host of location custom fields.
Right.
And that goes well beyond latitude and longitude. You know, there's dilution of precision and number of satellites in view and all that sorts of crazy stuff. Those are the sorts of things that you can ask through get value.
Cool.
Yeah. So get value, you give it a collection of you give it a property key, and it will return you that particular value. If that value is not supported, then you know you'll get an error.
Sure.
Okay. So then off of or you know down the hierarchy tree from iLocation report, we have iLatLong report. So iLatLong report kind of is probably the most commonly used one. So it includes those three methods, and then it also has get longitude. Latitude, longitude, error radius. So what this means is it's an error radius in meters. And so it's basically, you know, the latitude and longitude gives you your two-dimensional point in space. And then the error radius means that I could be anywhere in a circle around that particular point. So this is convenient both for deciding, you know, is this report accurate enough? But also, if you're going to draw on a map, for example, you could draw a ring around the user, the degree of uncertainty.
Sure.
The interesting thing also about get error radius is that we basically have standardized this as the method of figuring out the accuracy between different types of location devices, right? Because GPS uses dilution of precision. Wi-Fi triangulation uses maybe percent or uses signal strength. IP resolver might use country or something, you know, might use something completely different. And so basically with the location API, because we require latitude, longitude, and error radius, we've basically mandated that every one of these different technologies reports this value at the very least. And so we have kind of a common way of comparing different sensors that might have disjoint data, but that they know how to convert into this.
So you have one measurement to actually measure the accuracy, or the error accuracy, actually, that you can decide which technology to use, to generate the location report.
Exactly, yes. The location API uses the error radius internally in order to prioritize the sensors.
Okay.
And then altitude and altitude error. So the first three are always going to be defined. Mm-hmm. And altitude error, those are optional, so those could be null. So that you could get a valid report, but those might be null if the technology that you're using isn't supporting that.
Nice. So you see there is a iCivic address report?
Yep. So if I scroll down here a little bit, you can see this is inherited off of iLocation report. So this is kind of like a peer class to iLatLong report. So iCivic address report is basically a way of getting your street address. So your address, city, state, postal code, country. And that basically, when a sensor is available that provides the information, will allow you to, you know, to give information like for presence data, for example, right? You know,
sure.
Alec is, you know, in Seattle. Right, so you don't actually maybe have to do the latitude-longitude conversion. So in Windows, we don't actually translate between these two devices. You could think of the location API as just a pipe. Right, we pipe the data from the sensor up to the user.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really fiddle with it. But it would definitely be possible for somebody to write a device that could kind of listen to the latitude and longitude and then use a web service to generate the address. And in fact, I'm just going to close my full screen view. And if you notice in here, if I zoom way into San Francisco here and I click, this is exactly what we're doing here. We're getting the latitude and longitude. Then we're using Virtual Earth to do our reverse geocoding. And if I click on Save Address here, I can actually go into the control panel and see that this was actually saved. So I got the same latitude and longitude, and I have the same address saved here.
Cool. So actually, we can see that that you have obviously a programmable API to do that, to save location, and user can actually do it as well.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to move on down here a little bit. So here's kind of the core location API. So it's a fairly simple API you can see here. This is iLocation. I'm just going to put it in full screen mode here. So in iLocation, we've got our first two methods here. We have register for report and unregister for report. So this is how you tell the location API, tell me when I've moved. And basically, you're registering a callback method. So the arguments here, we're basically saying, hey, I want to get events. I want to register for this particular report type. So you can say civic address or lat long. And you can say the requested report interval. So you tell the location API, I would like to get events about this often for this particular type. And when I get these events, call this function.
Mm-hmm.
The report interval is no hard guarantees. Basically, what the location API does is we feed it down to the driver. And so it's up to the sensor driver to manage how often you get those updates.
Sure.
And you know, for some technologies like GPS, maybe it's going to give you every second. For some technologies like an IP resolver, chances are you're never going to move because those things generally don't have particularly great accuracy.
Right.
So unless you go out to a different city, you're probably not going to get any events.
A different state with that, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. So this really depends. You never quite know exactly what you're going to get, but it's basically setting a hint.
Right.
Unregister for report, obviously, that's going to cancel that registration.
Get reports right now.
Yep, exactly. So this is a synchronous call. So we say which report we want, and we get it passed back right to us.
Sure.
That call is blocking. So this call, it makes a direct round-trip request to the sensor. And so if there's something wrong with the sensor driver, your code could get stuck there.
Okay.
I believe that we have safeguards in place so it won't go more than 2 seconds. But this is a method that could potentially cause hang-ups. So you want to be careful around using it.
Use caution.
Yeah, use caution when using that. Report status is going to report back that enum that we talked about earlier. Get and set report interval. So this is going to allow you to change the report interval.
Sure.
Of course, you have to call that after you've registered for reports, otherwise it won't work. Then we have get and set desired accuracy. So this is a rather interesting field that we actually added during the beta time frame. And get and set desired accuracy, it sends a hint down to the driver about do you want high accuracy data or default accuracy data. So you could imagine for something like a weather service, I probably don't really care too much about if I have 10 meter resolution or 100 meter resolution.
Yeah.
And so if I'm using a laptop that has a 3G card and maybe there's a data plan, it might actually cost money for me to look up my location. And so I could probably say in that case, give me the default. Do whatever's cheapest. Just give me whatever you have. If I'm doing something, though, where I need GPS and turn-by-turn directions, that flag then is going to say, if you set desired accuracy to high, you're going to tell the API, you're going to tell that driver, hey, I really need the most accurate and timely information. So, no holds barred. Do whatever you need to do to get me an accurate report.
So the parameters to this function is in enum?
Yes, it's basically an enum, and there's only two values in it right now.
High and low.
High and default, is basically like low.
Okay.
Yep.
And request permission is obviously a request pop-up the request permission dialog.
Yes, exactly. So as Gavin was talking about, and I believe he showed it earlier, the request permission dialog, it will show all the different sensors that are required in order to make the report leave the the access denied state.
Sure.
And so if we scroll over here a little bit, we pass in a parent window because we need to have this,
context.
Has to have context.
Right.
We tell it which report types we want, and we say whether we want this to be a modal dialog or not.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, it's best to have it be a modal dialog because then you'll get the callback or you'll get the return value. So you'll know that, what the user did when they clicked on it.
Right.
Because if it's not modal, then your code's just going to keep executing, and we don't have any callback methods on that, so you won't ever know what the user did.
Change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next set of methods I'm going to show here is this is actually a different interface. This is iDefaultLocation, and this is actually the interface that I was using with that enhanced DLP thing, or default location provider. So this default location API, this is the thing that actually sets the location in the registry, and then the location API falls back to this when there are no location sensors around. So if you have a location sensor on the machine, it will not use the default location. It's only when they're not present at all. So it, you can go, if you put them in an access denied state, that's like they're not around at all, and in which case it will fall back to it. So if I disable all my sensors, I get the default location. And so that little application that you saw where I was clicking on a map and switching our location, basically all it's doing is implementing the set report method here.
Sure.
And the set method report, I mean, it just takes, you tell it what type of report and you pass in the report and it, pushes it into the registry. One key thing to note about this method or function is that it requires elevation. So it will fail if you're not elevated when you make this call.
Okay.
So you need to get admin credentials when you make that call. And get report is just going to return to you the default location report. So the get report won't talk to the location API. So it's not going to go and talk to any sensors.
Just go to the registry and get the data. Okay.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that in the starter edition SKU, the sensor API doesn't exist. So what that means is that the location API still exists, but the only way to set the location is through the default location mechanism. And so actually all of the location API methods will work. They'll just always use the default location. And so this will basically be the only way that you can put data in.
Okay.
Okay, so almost done here showing the APIs. So the last two I'm going to show you is the location events. So there's two different events that you receive when you register for the event callbacks. You get location changed. So it's an event that lets you know the new location report. And you get status changed, so you know when the status of the API has changed.
Which is an extensor go on and off or...
Exactly, yeah. Or maybe the person, maybe it was disabled and you you called request permissions, the person said okay, and now you're going to get an event that says okay, you know, accessed, or you're going to get the, you know, report running state.
Sure.
Yeah.
So basically these are all the different APIs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any code that actually uses these APIs?
Yeah, of course. So I'm actually, I have right here, this is the synchronous version of the SDK tool. So let me put this back in the full screen here. So I'll just run through this really quick because this is actually the code in action here. So we just have a single main function. We create, you know, our location pointer here. We co-create an instance of it.
Yep.
We request permissions.
Sure.
Then really, as long as we just keep looping and we get the status of the report and we print that out, and then we request a report. So we basically, we create our pointers that we need there. We say, hey, location, you know, get report. We make sure that all of that worked according to plan. There's a lot of error handling here. That's why there's a lot of extra stuff here. And basically, we get the report right here. So now we can say, hey, get me the timestamp, get the sensor ID, get the latitude and the longitude, and print it out.
All the information that you
all the information
get,
you need. Yeah. So this is, I mean, if you look at this, if you think about the code here, I mean, most of the code is just little bits of error handling and whatnot. But just contemplate for a moment, if you wanted to talk to a GPS right now, you'd have to open a file handler to a virtual COM port. You'd have to parse NMEA streams. There's like six different sentences you need to use to get the latitude and longitude. You'd have hundreds of lines of code. And here, almost on one screen, in big font, we can fit the whole thing. And so, you know, if I run this, you can see it's constantly spitting out 37 degrees latitude and minus 122 longitude. And if I go onto my little tool here, and, you know, let's just bring us up.
Back home?
Bring us back home to Seattle. So, right, it was 37 minus 122, and then when I click here, look, 47 minus 122. So, and it keeps querying.
Obviously.
So
you see that if we had a real GPS or a real sensor, we would actually get accurate data, but it doesn't really matter because it's the same API using the same thing all the time.
Yep, so I can click down South America right now. Everything's minus. Fun game to play is, oh, look how close to zero.
Yeah, very nice.
Amazingly, zero is off of Africa. Okay, so that's that little application there. Close that guy.
So this is this is the native app, right?
Yes.
Obviously, one of the examples that you're showing and actually... the default set default location example is a managed wrapper. Is a managed app. So we do have a set of managed wrappers that managed developers can use, which basically, you know, just a managed wrappers around this API,
mm-hmm.
and they have a strongly type of civic address and location objects that they can use. Mm-hmm. But basically, same functionality.
Yes, entirely. Yeah.
So the Windows 7 Location API, which is part of the sensor and location platform, really offers great opportunities for developers. As we've seen in this video, we've covered the API, their underlying architecture that drives those. We've seen a couple of examples on code. We have native APIs and we have the managed wrappers, so we have best of both worlds, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you want to say?
Well, thanks for taking the time to have me come and talk here. For all the developers out there, you know, I think the Location API is a great opportunity, a whole new realm of application development that's available. There's a lot of new exciting scenarios. You know, there's better presence for social networking. There's, you know, great opportunities in search. There's so many different gadgets that you could write that could do things automatically. And then also at the same time, you know, you could take a lot of existing applications and add location as a form of context. So, you know, taking things that already exist, like, you know, finding movie showtimes. But now you can show, you know, movie showtimes in your area without the user having to search or finagle with anything. So I think that there's really, you know, both new exciting scenarios and existing scenarios that can be expanded upon because of the Location API.
Cool. So if I'm a developer and want to get started, what do I do?
So you can go to the sensor overview website. So it's the microsoft.com/WHDC/sensor. And it's the same website that Gavin mentioned in the sensor video. And that has all of the tools and information you need to get started. For the Location API, we have the set of SDK tools, and we're going to be, you know, continually expanding upon that. And, you know, hopefully soon we'll have some real hardware that people can play with. And if you have any email or questions you want to email me or my team, you can send email to lokext@microsoft.com. So basically, location external.
Cool. So again, hey Alec, thank you very much for coming in. It's a pleasure as always. And stay tuned for additional Windows 7 videos here at Channel 9.
Thanks very much.